Okay. Good morning again. Happy Palm Sunday. So today's message is from Luke chapter 7, 11 through 17. The title of today's passage is His Heart Went Out to All. Okay. Key verse is verse 13. Let me read it. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Today, we see two different processions symbolizing two different journeys and two different destinations merge at the same spot at the same time. One group is full of joy, wonder, and hope. These people are flocked around Jesus and have just witnessed Jesus' healing of the centurion's servant in verses 1 through 10. As they travel along, their procession is excited and celebratory, and they are buzzing about the miraculous power flowing out of Jesus. The second group, on the other hand, surrounds a widow in misery. Her only son's life has been cut short by some tragedy, and she is mourning his loss and the end of the family line. Surrounded by fellow mourners in loud lament, she leads a procession to a burial site. Deep pain and sorrow have pierced her soul, and the journey to the grave is full of hopelessness and quiet despair. Here they are, two large groups, two different journeys, and two different destinations. But they meet outside the village of Nain, and here something wonderful happens. This passage is a short, just seven verses, but the author Luke puts the work of the Messiah on full display. Luke uses this brief meeting to give us a glimpse of Jesus as the Lord who came to stop the relentless force of death in his compassion. Part 1, grief, verses 11 and 12. Look at verses 11 and 12. Soon after, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. We meet a nameless widow who just lost her son. She used to be a wife of a man who loved her and cared for her and was there for her through thick and thin. But he was gone. Yet he left her a child from their marriage, a precious son who perhaps inherited his father's eyes or his smile or his sense of humor. As she grieved for her husband, she found strength for each day because of her son. As he grew, she had hope for him and began to lean on him. But suddenly, he was gone too. And she found herself truly alone and deserted. Her helplessness and vulnerability were completely exposed, for she was now without a male protector and provider in a first century male dominant society. She lost the person of her son and any possible support and status that he could have provided for her now and in the future. Death has struck her not once, but twice. Her husband and now son were no more. Engulfed by the power of death, she no longer had anything to live for. In this story, a dead body is on the bier, but there are actually two dead people. On the day her son had died, she also died. So this is not just a funeral for a man, a mother's only son, but a funeral for a mother and widow too. We hear about those who lost their mother, and there is always grief and sadness when a child buries a parent. But no parent should have buried their own child. When a child precedes a parent in death, and the parents have to bury their own child. How deep is their sorrow? And for this widow who had already lost her husband, the blow of death was doubled, for she has no one to share her grief. Her precious son, who came from her womb and was laid in her arms, is now dead, and she has to lead the procession to the tomb. For it was the custom of the day for the bereaved to walk in front of the bier. The crowd with a devastating power of death, as the exuberant crowd traveling with Jesus met this funeral procession, the hope from Jesus' miraculous healing of the centurion servant quickly became subdued and seemed to slip through their fingers and be lost. Death has that kind of a devastating effect. Sometimes it comes later, but always, always it comes. That's the tragedy of the widow's story and ours. Some of us here have felt death in person very closely. I never met my father-in-law, for he passed away when my wife was just 18. I heard from Maria that he was a faithful man with tenderness, patience, and a jolly sense of humor. He was a loving husband and father of five talkative and loud daughters and one strong son, and had been a kind shepherd for many in need. Even as a senior in high school, Maria often sat in his lap and liked to bother him while he was writing his testimony. Every morning, she gave him a kiss on the cheek before heading out to school, and every evening, another kiss before going to bed. But one day, he was rushed to the emergency room after collapsing during a game of ping pong at another missionary's house, and he was gone before she and her siblings arrived at the hospital. The next time she saw him, he was lying in a casket with no expression and no life. He was dressed in his best Sunday suit he had worn every week and his favorite red tie, so familiar to her, and yet he was like a stranger. Maria said she cried out, but actually did not know how to grieve. So she just did what she was supposed to do. She went to school, attended church, and went to orchestra practice, etc., day after day, week by week. Her body kept going through the motions, but she felt numb and distant. But one day, she was hit by the realization that she had lost someone big in her life and broke down in tears. His departure was so sudden that she didn't have even a moment to say bye or to hold his hand. We can be sorry and give our condolences and take the time to send a card. We can be present to listen and to pray. We can offer help with meals and transportation and finances. These are the things that a loving family, friends, and neighbors would do. Yet, none of it really changes the tragedy and takes away the gnawing pain and the sense of loss. And so, the widow and those around her cry. Death and the power of death is very real. Death waits for everyone, even the healthiest and the very best of bodies, Olympic approved or military trained. It exposes the frailty of life. Money, prestige, and position aren't going to change that. Visits and phone calls and sympathy cards aren't going to change that. Mourners and expensive funerals aren't going to change that. Death reminds every one of us that we live in a world stricken by sin. Part 2, power, verses 13 through 15. Look at verses 13. Don't cry. Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, Young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Jesus enters the situation with unusual words and even more unusual actions that seem totally out of place. He says to the mourning widow, don't cry. It sounds so inappropriate, so disrespectful, and even callous. She has every reason to cry. But then he takes even more shocking and unacceptable actions. He disrupts the funeral procession and touches the bier of a dead man, defying Jewish purity laws and violating the family grieving over the loss. Even today, no one disrupts a funeral procession. People stop and pay their respect as the procession goes by. But Jesus refuses to stand by, and stunned, the bearers stand still and the procession comes to a halt. All eyes had been on the grieving widow, but now the eyes of the both crowds turn to Jesus with some shock and uncertainty. To their amazement, Jesus addresses the corpse and says, young man, I say to you, get up. And even more to their amazement, the dead man sits up and begins to talk. Jesus' command was impossible. The dead corpse cannot get up. But Jesus' commands reverses the power of darkness and death. His command transformed a funeral procession into a family reunion. Just as he healed the centurion's servant by his word, he just said the word, and the dead man was raised to life. In restoring the man back to his mother, Jesus also gave the widow back her life and hope. God wants to give you back your life. All it takes is one touch from Jesus to do it. Just when you think your life is over or something is impossible, Jesus has one more compassionate move, one more loving word. Get up. Impossible hopes and broken relationships are not over. Jesus is willing and is able to restore your life. It is interesting to note that no one came to Jesus about the widow's son. There was no prayer offered to him, no begging requests from the widow or from her neighbors. Unlike the story of the centurion's servant in the previous passage, there is no mention of faith at all. The widow and those with her had accepted the fact of death as final and irreversible. It is easy to get used to death as the norm of life, but Jesus is not willing to let that happen. No one came begging for help, but on his own and spontaneously, Jesus interceded and worked this mighty deed of deliverance. We are tempted to stop here and just celebrate. But while it's good to praise God for this miracle of raising a dead to life, there is something even more important. To see only the miracle is to miss what matters the most and is absolutely critical to the story. Luke, the author, provides us a clue by placing his point at the center of the passage. Part 3, Heart of Compassion. The main emphasis in Luke's story is not just the power of Jesus, but his heart and his compassion. Raising a dead man to life is a mighty work and worthy of our amazement. But we must not only look into what has been done, but the cause and reason why it was done. In verse 13, at the center of our story, we read, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. Other translations like KJV or ESV read, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. I believe this is the key point Luke is emphasizing. Jesus cares about the helpless and the powerless in a big way, and he has heart and compassion for those in need. He works in messy and miserable situations and in dark and difficult circumstances because he cares. The widow in this story was restored to a place of protection and safety, and Jesus restored her hope for the future by giving her back her son. And he did this not in response to her faith or her prayer or her persistence, but because of his heart and compassion. The only explanation for why Jesus interceded for this widow is his heart went out to her and he had compassion on her. The original Greek word for heart means guts or core of the body. The heart is where the most intimate and intense emotions are stirred, especially emotions of care, love, and concern. When a person is deeply moved, this is where he feels it. I hope you know what I'm talking about and that at some point you have felt it when deeply moved. But in this passage, we are not just talking about the heart of any person, but that of Jesus Christ. We see his intimate and intense emotions as he sees the widow with a dead son. His heart goes out to her. Luke doesn't want us to miss or overlook whose heart he is referring to. So in his account, he names Jesus the Lord. This is a special declaration. He uses it to affirm Jesus' deity. He announces, "This is the one who is to come, the Holy One of God, the Savior. He is the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us." This story isn't just a miracle and a wonderful fix for a widow with big problems. This isn't even a story about God working in answer to our prayers or faith. Rather, we are drawn to see the person of Jesus Christ. And as we see Jesus, we are seeing the Lord, God Almighty himself. In Jesus, we are invited to search God's heart, to see the deep compassion and love he has for us. In Jesus, God's desire to come close and share life with us is revealed. He wants to make his home in our hearts. In Jesus, we celebrate God's willingness to pay the terrible price of the cross and its agony in order to save us from sin and death. We have a God with heart. Let me say it again. We have a God with heart. That's important to remember because sometimes in the midst of our difficulties, we may not see the miracle that God is working. But when we need to give our full attention to the heart of God as revealed in Jesus, then we will know that what Jesus did for the widow, he makes real for each one of us through his death and resurrection. He restores us to the place of safety and blessing within God's family. He renews our hope and gives us a future. He guarantees a coming time when death will be no more, when crying and pain will be gone. One day, God will make right all the wrongs of our world. One day, everything will be made new. When that day comes, the glory is so exceeding and the beauty is so overwhelming in eternity that we will hardly remember a slightest hint of our present sufferings. Even now, today's story gives us a glimpse of what is in God's heart. His heart is full of love, compassion, and restoration and everlasting life. Part 4, Awe and Praise. In response to this miracle, the crowd of people in both processions were filled with awe and praised God. Remember how at the beginning of the story, there were two processions with two different destinations. Now, there is only one. They all say in unison, with joy and wonder, God has come to help his people. Today's story tells us that life can be sorrowful, ugly, and painful. But the story also shows the power of God's hand and even more the deep compassion of Jesus' heart. Because of God's heart, we now live in a world where resurrection takes place and death, while inevitable, does not have to be the end. Because of God's heart, we have eternal life, the victory that was won over death. God wants to shake and challenge our closed way of thinking and living. Jesus, with a heart of compassion, interrupted the procession of death and comforted a widow with the gentle words, "Don't cry," and powerful words, "Young man, I say to you, get up." We can praise God when we come to know and experience God's heart that is good, right, and holy. In conclusion, in the most difficult situation, namely death, the Lord Jesus brings hope and healing through raising the dead. He reveals to us the heart of God as one of compassion and love. Yet, we are still so quick to question and worry, and so slow to believe. Let's ask the Lord to give us faith to trust even in the times of darkness and pain. Let's ask the Lord to give us eyes to see his hand in all things and to know the heart of God. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending us Jesus, our Lord. We suffer in this world because of our sin and death, but he shows us it's not the end. Rather, we have hope of resurrection because of his death, which paid all our debt of sin, and his own resurrection, which points to our bodily resurrection in heaven. Lord, with this hope, we may see our life in this world with a different way and live a life to please you. May you be with all our congregations and give them guidance and your word. Also, be with the people who are suffering. May your message be given to them in one way or the other. Thank you for this time. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.